Have you ever prayed for the person you were the maddest at? Prayed for your worst enemy? Jesus did. But maybe most of the rest of us find it very difficult to get down on our knees and ask God to bless that man in the White House we never voted for.
Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, everyone. This is Kenneth Richards. Here in the United States, and Canada too, we hope, millions of people are going to be praying. And just before Lonnie shares today's special prayer message, he and I would both like to offer you a helpful book absolutely free of charge. It's entitled Prayer on Target, a compilation by our friend Pastor George Vandeman with Steve Mosley. Here's our toll-free request line, 1-800-872-0055. Again, 1-800-872-0055. I'll repeat that number at the close, but right now let's join Lonnie for today's message. Do we have to pray for Bill?
Well, friend, we've come to the day. Today, May 2, 1996, is National Day of Prayer here in the United States of America. We're playing the same radio series for our good Canadian listeners, and I'm sure many of you are reaching your hands and hearts across the border and joining in as well. We certainly welcome you and invite you to pray with us for the pressing national problems that are common to us all. What does it mean, a National Day of Prayer? Is it appropriate for a melting pot country like the U.S. to have a day where we encourage everyone to pray? And does that kind of coast-to-coast campaign even work? Does it have an impact? There are some things, friends, that we can agree on for sure. One of them's this. We certainly need prayer. More prayer. In fact, a lot more prayer, especially in the year 1996. I want you to hear a letter that came to me through our Voice of Prophecy Bible School not too long ago. Let me call this man Timothy, and he writes from Missouri, and I'm quoting, "Dear Pastor Lonnie, I pray for death every day. I have no job, living on $510 a month. I have had chronic depression since the age of 14, and I am really, really mad at God. I have no friends. My suffering has been the same for years, 32 to be exact. I've had 4 broken marriages, and I've been in and out of mental institutions all my life. Why doesn't God help me? Or is God only for the successful people? I have nothing, and never did. Just a rough go of it all my life." You know, friend, I have to tell you something. This man's problems are just too big for me to pray about all by myself. That's why I'm so grateful that the Voice of Prophecy every Thursday morning has what we call our worldwide prayer circle. We promised you many times on this very radio station that if you send us your prayer request, we would pray for you by name. And we've kept that promise for many years. You know, I praise God every single day for the employees here at our ministry. Each one of them is a Bible-believing, church-attending, daily-praying Christian man or woman. Every one of them. And each Thursday morning, in fact, today as you're hearing this broadcast, we kneel down and join together in prayer for some of these heart-rending cases. And what a wonderful thing to know that many people are praying together for one person, one problem, one broken heart. Many, quote, prayer warriors are saying to our Heavenly Father, "Lord, we know you want to bless these people. You want to grant these requests. And we're appealing to you to do exactly that." You know, despite the vast mosaic of spiritual beliefs that we find here in America and in Canada, prayer is one of the things that unites us. We're all about the same size when we're on our knees, aren't we? It's interesting to note what Abraham Lincoln, a Republican president, said about prayer 133 years ago. Here it is. "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." And friend, today, President Bill Clinton, Democrat, more than a century later, challenges us with these words, and I'm quoting, "Let us not forget those painful lessons of our past, but continue to seek the guidance of God in all affairs of our nation. Our nation was built on the steadfast foundation of the prayers of our ancestors." And we have a few words from one of President Clinton's predecessors.
Former President Ronald Reagan for the National Day of Prayer.
Have you ever noticed how when we talk about the changes needed in America, we never start with ourselves? Most Americans would like to see big changes in our country, only we don't know where to start. I wonder what would happen if we started with ourselves, if we spent more time with our families, if we encouraged someone who really needed it, and if we took a moment to pray for our nation. Let's pray for change in the place where it's needed most, in our own hearts. Won't you join me in prayer for change?
If my people will humbly pray, then freely then will I forgive, and I will heal their land.
The annual National Day of Prayer, Thursday, May 2nd.
Tomorrow I'd like to return to a concept mentioned in Abe Lincoln's famous prayer, where he said, "I have no other place to go." But today I'd like to point out what I believe is one of the greatest benefits of a National Day of Prayer, and here it is. Friend, prayer places us in an attitude of support. I heard a story once that was told by my friend Pastor Glenn Kuhn, one of the great prayer champions in my own denomination, a wonderful man of God. In fact, a legend with his ABCs of prayer, ask, believe, claim. He often gave seminars on the topic of prayer, came twice to my church, both in Camarillo and in Paradise. Well, one day Pastor Glenn Kuhn inadvertently found himself right in a hornet's nest of criticism. Some woman had gotten her feelings hurt, and she was shooting at him with both barrels blazing. I mean, she ripped him to pieces and then stomped on the pieces with her high-heeled shoes. She was the maddest he'd ever seen a fellow human being. Now, in all honesty, Pastor Kuhn was in the right. And this woman didn't know the full story, and she was reacting incorrectly to something that just plain wasn't so. That didn't do anything to soften the verbal blows she was landing on his chin. Well, finally, when she stopped to take another deep breath and reload her torpedoes, Pastor Glenn Kuhn managed to get in just four quiet words. Here's what they were. "Please pray for me." Now, notice something. He didn't claim he was right. He didn't really admit he was wrong either. He simply asked this red-in-the-face woman to pray for him. And do you know what? That ended the attack. That's right. Because it's really impossible to sincerely pray for someone without supporting them at the same time. Friend, let me ask you something today. As you participate in our National Day of Prayers, I hope you will, are you praying supportively? As you pray for America or for Canada, is yours a supportive prayer? Do you pray in a way that echoes the Kennedy line, clear back from 1961? Ask what you can do for your country. You know, a lot of people who may be listening today might have spent the last 3.5 years criticizing the man who currently lives in the White House at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Maybe you've told jokes at his expense or complained about his many faults. You've rejoiced at his various misfortunes. And if you're a loyal Democrat listening today, perhaps you did the same thing for a 12-year span between 1980 and 1992 when the objects of your ridicule sat there in the Oval Office. But as you pray for your leaders today, friend, as you fall to your knees and pray for your president, do you pray supportively? Listen to me now. Do you pray supportively for your congressman or congresswoman, the one you didn't vote for? The one you've still got a bumper sticker attacking? The one who's always been ridiculed on that talk radio program you secretly enjoy listening to? It's something to think about, isn't it? I was so moved when I read something by Pastor Jack Hayford, who leads a wonderful Christian congregation in the Church on the Way right near here in Van Nuys, California. I've been there. I've met him. I've talked to him. Right after the 1992 election, though, Pastor Hayford confessed openly that he hadn't voted for or supported the person who was elected as our 42nd president. But in a meeting of Christian leaders arranged to take place right there in the Oval Office in Washington, he looked into the eyes of newly elected President Clinton and said, "Mr. President, my Bible tells me that I'm supposed to love you and to pray for you. And that's exactly what I'm going to do." You know, he's kept on doing that right through the ups and downs of this current political term. Friends, that's the kind of spiritual maturity that makes a National Day of Prayer a miraculous and miracle-creating event. I think it's a compelling truth that corporate prayer, especially national prayer, as we're experiencing today, provides the blessing of taking us out of ourselves and our small little worlds. It makes us more unselfish. Now, maybe you don't experience much racism in your own life, on the receiving or the giving end. But today is a day for us to pray that God will bring racism to an end, both through us and through the entire body of Christ. Pornography or abortion or corporate greed may not be your personal battles, but today we can join others in praying to God about these great challenges that face the entire human race. In the end, though, a national day of prayer only works as it makes us men and women who then get up from our knees and act in the very spirit of those prayers. That's important, friend. Let's pray for national forgiveness and then rise up and forgive our enemies even while we seek out those from whom we need to obtain forgiveness. One of the founders of my own Adventist denomination wrote in her classic book, Steps to Christ, "How can we pray, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and yet indulge an unforgiving spirit?" Well, that's a hard-as-nails challenge, isn't it, friend? Let's make today a day of active, inwardly transforming prayer, a day that really will bless our land through our own holy lives.
That's right, Lonnie. Thank you. Friend, I can tell you that the Richards family will be doing some extra praying today, and especially thanking God for the joy we've had of working with this radio ministry, the Voice of Prophecy, for so many happy decades. Remember, we do have that free gift book for each of you by George Vandeman, entitled Prayer on Target. For your complimentary copy, write to us here at the Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for Prayer on Target. Our Canadian address, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. And let me give you that toll-free number again. Here it is, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. By the way, Lonnie and I really hope you'll join us again for tomorrow's broadcast. Here's Lonnie's title, It's Easy to Pray for the USA. Tune in again as we finish off this series, If My People Will Pray. Until tomorrow then, this is Kenneth Richards along with Lonnie Meloshenko saying, God loves you.
Hello everyone, this is James Dobson, and I invite you to take just a moment to really look at our country. The principles this nation was founded on are literally deteriorating before our very eyes. As discouraging as all of this is, I firmly believe that there is hope. This nation can still return to the biblical principles our forefathers believed in. But that change will come only when we begin to pray regularly and fervently for our nation. I urge you to join me and millions of other Americans in asking God for forgiveness and renewal on the National Day of Prayer.
If my people will humbly pray, and I will heal their land.
The annual National Day of Prayer, Thursday, May 2nd.